Shabbat Shalom. I was given a gift at the end of my third year of rabbinical school when one of my professors came up to me and said, "You know, I saw you in services when we first started learning together, and I really thought your joy was somewhat inauthentic, that there is no way that you could possibly have that much joy and be authentically who you are. But I realized over these last 2 years that you embody the words of the psalmist, 'Iv duet Adonai besimcha,' serve Adonai with joy. I tell you this because I'm going to be honest with you. This week, it has been very difficult to be joyful." There's a story in the Talmud about a scholar named Elisha ben Abuya. Elisha ben Abuya once saw a father ask his young child to climb a tree to fulfill the commandment to shoo away a mother bird before taking her eggs. Unfortunately, the child fell out of the tree and died. Elisha ben Abuya understandably was distraught, not only at the loss of life, but he questioned the idea of both commandments, honoring one's parents and shooing away a mother bird, especially since both of them in the Torah explicitly state the reward of a long life. Here was a child fulfilling two mitzvot and did not receive the reward of a long life. When the child died, so too did Elisha ben Abuya's faith. After this moment, the Talmud actually gives him a different name, Acher, or other. He became foreign. He became an outsider. He became an other who lost faith and therefore his connection to the divine and his community. In recent days, we have been confronted with nature's worst. We've seen the devastation from Hurricane Harvey. We are fearful for our friends and family in Florida and the Caribbean as they deal with and prepare for Hurricane Irma. And our hearts are broken, and as Californians, a little empathetic to those in Mexico, Guatemala, and all those affected by this morning's massive earthquake. And this is all on top of the grief shared by this community. The grief we share as husbands and fathers die too soon. Wives and mothers receive heartbreaking diagnoses. We try to make sense of the onslaught of what's happening. A 1,000-year flood, an 8.0 earthquake, amongst others. And it's natural for us, in those incidents, to ask, why do bad things happen to good people? On its face, this week's Torah portion, Ki Tavo, presents a paradigm of blessings and curses, which attempt to address this question of why. Moses teaches that if the Israelites listen to God, they will be blessed with fruits of the womb, fruits of the soil, and fruits of livestock. But if they do not listen, they will be cursed and chased by enemies. This rationale for why bad things happen is really, honestly, quite frustrating, because it implies that if you find yourself in the curses of life, it must be because you didn't listen to God, or you didn't follow a certain law, or you did something wrong. For too long, this paradigm has been used to blame natural disasters on humans who are the margins of society, and disease as a reflection of moral behavior. For most of us, talking about blessings and curses, reward and punishment is strange. It's foreign, and honestly, it's a turnoff. We conjure the image of from our High Holy Day liturgy. All who come into the world pass before you, God, like sheep before their shepherd. As a shepherd considers the flock when it passes beneath the staff, you count and consider every life. You set bounds. You decide destiny. You inscribe judgments. On Rosh Hashanah, this is written. On the fast of Yom Kippur, this is sealed. How many will pass away from this world? How many will be born into it? Who will live and who will die? However, as Rabbi Burke so beautifully articulated this morning, surely we stand at this moment on the very edge of faith. The answers for which we long, answers that could bring us comfort, must forever elude us. There is no good theology to make us feel better right now. We all know in our hearts that those who are too young, too vibrant, too important to their family and circle of friends to be taken from us. No cheap ideas can take away the sting of their death. So we are left with a choice: to abandon our faith or to let our faith mature. For it takes maturity and wisdom to stand in awe before and accept the mysteries of life. In the final analysis, the tragedy of death and suffering ought not to detract from affirming the goodness of life. Indeed, perhaps we can look at the relationship between blessings and curses not in direct relation, but perhaps as an agreement between us and God and with each other. An agreement about how we want to express our love for each other. Perhaps when we examine the hurricanes and earthquakes and cancers of our bodies and our society, we should seek the blessings, seek the good deeds, seek the goodness and godliness in the humanity of our response, so that each of us can find some way to serve Adonai with joy. I don't know why bad things happen to good people. I don't understand why there are massive injustices in the world. But when I try to blame God, or when I credit God for when bad things happen to bad people, my soul feels unsatisfied. I don't see God as a scapegoat, and I don't subscribe to the philosophy that everything happens for a reason in some great divine plan. Some injustices in the world are brought about by natural things or human forces we do not yet and may never understand. So this Shabbat, as you reflect on your week, I want to encourage you to change your approach. Do teshuva. Turn yourself and your thinking. When faced with the tragedies around us, do not ask, why do bad things happen? Instead, say, when bad things happen, I will remember to be kind. When bad things happen, I will remember to do good. When bad things happen, I will support my loved ones and embrace those around me. When bad things happen, I will not be like Elisha ben Abuya. I will not lose faith, and in doing so, lose those around me. When bad things happen, I will not ask why, but rather, what can I do? We as humans and as Jews engage directly with God when we treat each other ethically and care for others in goodness. Those are the blessings we can live. Those are the rewards that we can reap. That is the shalom that we can bring this Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom.